Well, I've been blessed with another opportunity to preach, this time without Pastor. Scary. Pastor and I have been talking for many months about myself preaching and just digging into the Word of God and developing my skills. And, I just wanted to thank all of you and Pastor for a place where I can come and preach and really develop this skill that I believe the Lord has laid on my part on my heart to develop. So I just wanted to thank you. But today, if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And if you would stand, we will be reading verse 43 through the end of the chapter. That's John chapter 1, starting in verse 43. The Bible says, verse 43, "The day following Jesus will go forth unto Galilee, and find Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered, and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered, and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give me the words to say. Lord, I pray that you would soften the hearts of the church today. Lord, that all those who are in attendance, Lord, I pray that they would be able to get something from your word, Lord. I pray that my words would not be a hindrance or that, but Lord, everything that I say would be to your glory and your honor. I pray that you would work a great work in our lives, Lord. We come here to church, Lord, to listen to you and to glorify you. And I pray that that would be the only thing done here in this time. I pray that you would just give me grace and the words to say in your name. Amen. You may be seated. As I was kind of going off the coattails of my last message, I was reading a few different chapters and trying to seek the Lord and where he would want me to preach for my second message. And honestly, every time I would read something, this chapter will come back into my remembrance. I think it's easy to gloss over Jesus with his disciples because we think that all of the really exciting stuff that happened in Jesus' life like was post the 12 disciples. Like there was the calling and that's cool and all, but what did he do? And we look to the miracles that he did, and we look to the people that he healed, and we look to, you know, Lazarus and all of the extra, you know, disciples that he, and even into the apostles. But really there are some key points in the actual collecting of his disciples that we shouldn't gloss over. These are parts of the Bible that he put in there for a reason, and that God wanted written down for our edification, for our help. If you like titles, which I kind of do, because It gives me a really solid thing to say, oh, I remember that message, you know, that title. The title for today's message will be, it's kind of two parts, Unveiling Greater Things, A Promise Beyond Belief. Unveiling Greater Things, A Promise Beyond Belief. We all understand that God's greatest gift to us is salvation, is Jesus, Him dying on the cross, giving His life for us. But His plan for our lives, His will, dare I say, is it doesn't just stop there. My last message really focused on understanding why we do what we do. It's because God's up there and we're down here. But today I want to talk to you about what we have to look forward to after we understand where we are versus where God is. Once we've accepted Him into our hearts, once we've made that decision to put our faith and trust in Jesus, where do we go next? What does God have for us after that? Because if as we've heard many times, if God didn't have anything for us, He would just take us home. We'd get saved, we'd be gone. That would make it easy and simple for us, but God has so much more for you than just that. And so today I want to look at this recruiting of Nathanael, a man who Jesus calls Israel, indeed, in whom is no guile. In whom is no guile. That's an interesting point because I would love to think that Jesus would say that about me. As just, this is a solid Christian. But to be honest, I don't know if he would. You know? Starting off this this passage is this pretty interesting statement. He's looking at Nathanael and he's saying, okay, this man has no guile. There's no ought in this man's life that people could say, oh, this guy's this guy's that. Obviously, he wasn't perfect. But to understand that he was in a place where God could talk to him with no guile, that's a big deal. I want to talk to first about Jesus' revelation toward like Nathanael and this situation about the fig tree. So in order for us to obtain what God has for us, that being salvation, we have to have a revelation of personal knowledge. There has to be a point in our lives where we understand who Jesus is, who God is, why He sent Jesus, and why this is important. It's interesting, back in the day, in the Israelites' time, they were very, very against people saying that they were Jesus. Obviously, that's heresy. To them, the fact that a man would say that he was Jesus, that he was God, was the highest level of heresy, and it was worth death. So for Jesus to even mention this to anyone is a big deal. And when he does, those are times that we need to pay attention to, because there's a reason he said it to that person. As pastor has been preaching through John, there's been many times where Jesus doesn't just go out straightforward and say, I am that I am. It's not just every time that he says, I am God, that I am Jesus, that I'm God in the flesh. No, it's only on specific occasions and at specific times. This is an important one to notice, because this is one of his disciples. He already knew that Nathanael was in a position to follow him, because he knew everything. But Nathanael still had to have this moment where he realized, this is Jesus. Because all the other Israelites, all the other Pharisees that rejected him and put him on a cross, they didn't have a moment of realization, of revelation, that, man, this is God in front of me. So if you read, Nathanael, he's compelled by Philip to come and see this man, and he's kind of weary at the first. In verse 40, we'll just start reading. In verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have find of him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So already, Nathanael knows that this is deep water. Like, this is a big accusation. And if he goes and sees this person, and this is just some sham, that person is probably going to die. So in my mind, if I was in Nathanael's shoe, I'd be like, okay, well, This is probably not Jesus because it's been 400 years since we've even heard from God. But, you know, I can just imagine him in his mind. It might be interesting. See how this plays out. You know, why not just observe? See how the situation goes down. In verse 46, he responds and says, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip answers unto him, come and see. You know, I can almost imagine, you know, this is like kind of the interaction I have with friends. It's like, hey, dude, you know, I got something cool to show you. And then the friend speaks back, oh, yeah, sure, maybe, possibly. But here he has like actual valid reason. He says, Nazareth, it's kind of, you know, the slums. It's kind of the bottom of the barrel of Israel. How could anything good come out of there? You know, Jesus is all good. He's all powerful. He is the one who is going to take them, you know, into the new kingdom. And Nathanael's just sitting here like just some other Nazarite, you know, speaking false prophet stuff, you know, that sort of thing. Claim that he's Jesus. You know, I've seen this before. Kind of a brush off. He's so close to not seeing Jesus in the flesh because he's doubtful. And we understand we are doubtful at times too when God calls us to do something. When there's a moment that God wants us to you know, see something. Similar thing here. He's kind of doubtful. He's not sure. He's kind of testing the water. How could anything good come out of Nazareth, he says. And then, you know, the response is, You're come and see. There's no way for me to impart this on you. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Come and see. And then they get to Jesus, and in verse 47, really interesting. You know, Jesus first kind of, I don't know what, he's kind of puffing him up a little bit. Oh, hey, Nathanael. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Verse 48, and Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? This is some random guy. All Nathanael knows is this is some random guy from Nazareth. I don't know. Probably, you know, grew up as a carpenter or something. You know, nothing big. Just another guy from Nazareth. I don't know you. And Jesus answers and says unto him in the second half of that verse, before that Philip called thee, thou wert under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered, said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God and art the King of Israel. Now we need to understand that none of us at this moment in time can see Jesus. He's in heaven. None of us at this time can see God. God's in heaven. But Nathanael here sees Jesus, and I mean, it's very similar to, I'm getting ahead of myself. But so he sees Jesus here, and he says, this guy knew me, and he knew where I was. This has got to be God. Who else can do that? I mean, honestly, if I came up to you and we were strangers, and I came up to you and I said, hey, I know your name, your first name, middle name, last name, and I know what you ate last night. Guessed it all perfectly. We don't know each other. I've never seen you before. And I say, oh, yeah, your first name, Elizabeth. Yeah. Not spelled with a disgusting Z. Nope. The best letter, S. And yesterday you had shiitake mushrooms. And it was like, and I called it out. You know, you might be impressed, but at the same time, it's like maybe you were just stalking me on Instagram where I posted the meal before. Right? So to some level, Nathanael could have just easily played this off as another trickster, another guy who just you know, was setting something up. But no, he doesn't. He says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God and art the King of Israel. Now, it's interesting because in our lives, we have to have a moment where we realize who God is. You cannot get to heaven without realizing who Jesus was, and who God is. You can't. There's no way to get to the Father but by the Son, but by Jesus. There's no way to get to that final destination if you don't know who Jesus is. And Nathanael's expressing here, he's saying, Rabbi, I know who you are. I know why you're here. And this is important. He has a revelation and he has a personal knowledge that says, I know who you are. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. This is such a wild statement because it's so bold. Even he, as an accomplice, could have been put under the days of which they lived. He could have even been tried also because he was a follower of this so-called God. If he was there by Jesus and the courts found Jesus to be a liar and to not be God, he could be tried just as well as anyone else. This is an important statement that we as individuals have to realize. Has there been a point in my life where I have just acknowledged, accept that Jesus and God, same person? Jesus came, died on the cross for me. Have we acknowledged that and had a revelation in our lives that Jesus is God? And I dare say another point to point out here is, you know, I can only imagine what's going through Nathan's mind when he goes up to a complete stranger and says, you know, who are you? And the stranger says, I saw you under the fig tree. I'd get scared. Because if you knew that much, how much did you know? You know? There's a lot of things in my life that I'd love to keep private from people, and I do. But with God, none of it's private. None of it's private. In order to get to salvation, we need to understand that God sees everything. In order for us to live Christian lives, we need to understand that everything we do matters to God. All the things we do in private, all the things we do, you know, when no one's looking, the character that we have, it's important. And Nathanael realizes that, okay, let's step back. This guy knew who I was. He knew that I had no guile. And that's another thing, is not only did he know who I was, not only did he know where I was, but he knows what's in my heart. Right. I could just be another guy, Nathanael says, maybe. I can imagine his mind. He said, I could just be another sinner. I could just be another person who's you know, full of issues. But this guy even said I had no guile. I had nothing in my heart. That would, but how did he know that?
Right. Amen.
And these three conclusions, that he knows where you are, that he knows what's in your heart, and then he knows your name,
yep,
led Nathanael to one conclusion. This must be God.
Amen.
Those three things cannot all be told by any random person. I can even imagine maybe he's heard of these stories of the people who are, whatever, I'm not sure what they would call them, but they're doing tricks, they're doing jests, and they're trying to say they're of God, and they're doing these little party tricks, and blah, 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 blah. And I can imagine he's heard of these people, and maybe even seen them, the jesters that say, oh yeah, I'm Jesus, watch me, you know, pull this rabbit out of my hat. You know, the kind of illusionary things that people try to, you know, put off that they're someone else. Oh, the Houdinis in life that would maybe claim the people who would claim themselves as wizards and all this stuff. There's so much of this fake stuff out there. And Nathanael comes to a man who within a few sentences says, I know who you are, I know what you are, I know what's in your soul, and I know where you are. I know your location, I know your name, and I know what's in your heart. And Nathanael steps back and said, this must be him. This must be God. In your life, have you asked those questions? Do you realize that God knows who you are?
Yep.
He knows what you're made of. He knows your soul. He knows your mind.
Amen.
And he knows where you're at.
That's right.
No one else knows all three of those things. No one else outside of yourself. But even then, do you really know what's in your heart? It's deceitfully wicked. It lies to us all the time. We have these thoughts and we say, I want to do this. And then when we go to do that action, we do something completely different.
Right.
Because our heart leads us, and even it, we cannot comprehend.
Right.
But God knows it all. God knows all three things. And what Nathanael realizes is he has this knowledge, he has this revelation that this is God because he knows those three things. Now, in contrast, I'll take us to Psalms chapter 134. Give me a second to find. 139. I'm going to read four verses here, and you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But it says, Psalms 139, verse 1 through 4, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The psalmist David is saying, Lord, you know it all. You are everything. You know it all. You know my uprisings. You know where I go. You know what I think. You know who I am in my heart. Not just my name, but the things that I hide from even myself. The things that I don't look at. The things that I don't put pressure on. You know it all. And Nathanael realizes here that this is the man he's talking to. Not just some schmuck. Not just some man trying to present himself as something that he's not. He knows that he's talking to the man who knows his heart.
Amen.
I'd ask you today, do you know if when you pray to God that you're talking to a being that knows your heart? Because sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we treat God as though he's limited and that he doesn't know who we are and he doesn't know what we are and he doesn't know how we act. And we act like he doesn't know everything that he knows.
Yep. True.
David knew. David had a walk with God. Nathanael, I don't know how his walk was before this, but he was a man of no guile, and he realized that if this man knows these three things about me, I'm not talking to just some performer, some actor, talking to God.
That's right.
And that's very important before we continue on, because this is the realization, I dare say it might even be the point of salvation, where Nathanael realizes that this is God, this is somebody that I need to pay attention to.
Right.
This is somebody who could guide me through life and could help me because he's the Savior, he's the King.
Right.
And he only realized that because he understood, he had this knowledge that God knew those three things. The intricate parts of his life, all of it. And despite all of it, Jesus still is talking to him. I'm sure in this moment he thinks about all the things he's done. All the parts of his life that he doesn't like, the dirty stuff, the stuff he hides, he realizes, I can't hide any of it.
Right.
Not to this man.
That's right.
And as we take that and continue on, it's important to know that there is this dynamic now between Nathanael and Jesus, and they're kind of on the same page now. Jesus, Nathanael has acknowledged something that many other Israelites didn't. That this man Jesus knew him in and out. A bunch of the other Israelites, they brush him off. They hear his teachings. They even see some of his things. But Nathanael, he realized this has got to be him. But it doesn't just stop there with this acknowledgement. Jesus says in verse 50, and answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these.
Amen.
Listen, that initial faith that Nathanael had, that initial point where Nathanael realized, this is God Almighty, this is the person that I need to pay attention to, this is the person who's going to save me, caught his attention. But not just attention, it caught Nathanael's faith. He was willing to continue on with Jesus because in this moment he realized who God was, who he was, and that there was no one else that mattered more than Jesus.
Amen.
And then Jesus says to him, how are you going to believe on me because I knew you were under a fig tree? How is this the thing that brings you to me? This small faith, I could have made it up. I could have guessed. But Jesus, he didn't have to guess. He knew what was in Nathanael's heart, and he knew what it would take. And we see Nathanael's acknowledgement and then this initial faith that leads to something so much more than what Nathanael could have ever done outside of God. If we turn to Matthew chapter 16, I want to make a note of a verse that applies here. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. This is Peter, and he gives a very similar answer in verse 16. We'll read it for context. Peter gives a very similar answer, you know, when Jesus asks, "Who am I?" Peter asks or says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then verse 17, Jesus answers and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." We see another instance where one of the disciples of Jesus says, "You're God, I understand." And then Jesus throws it right back at him and says, "Listen, this was in your flesh, this was in your blood, this isn't just something you guessed. But because of that one moment of faith to realize, hey, this is God, and no matter what happens, this is Jesus, this is the glorified body of Christ right here. Because of that one moment of faith, so much more was to come. So much more was to come. If we see Jesus' response, he says, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." And just like the scope of how much greater it got for Nathanael than just the fig tree is incomprehensible. You think about him now going through, not just seeing the fig tree, not just seeing Jesus telling him who he was, where he was, the contents of his being, but then he goes on to see Jesus heal the sick, raise people from the dead, rise in 3 days. Nathanael didn't even know the half. And we today don't even know the half of what God wants after we invest just a little bit of faith. I think of the parable of the mustard seed, just a little mustard seed. And I've heard a lot of people say that it's just, you know, you just invest a little bit of faith and you're done. But I'd like to think that that is more akin to such a small seed growing such a big tree. That God is just asking for a little faith that with God's help, he can take and grow massive. Those are the greater things that Jesus is talking about. He's saying, you haven't seen the half of it. This simple fig tree situation is nothing in comparison to the glory that I have for the future. But here's the thing, is that without that initial faith, without the believing that he was telling the truth about the fig tree, and that he and that Jesus knew who Nathanael was, Nathanael would have never got to the greater things. Without salvation, you'll never see heaven. Without salvation, you'll never see the glories and the grace and the mercy of God, because it'll be held back.
Yep.
It's a harsh truth today, but our sin keeps us from these greater things that Jesus has for us, that God has for us. It would have kept Nathaniel if he didn't have the faith to understand that God knows who I am, he knows what I've done, he knows where I've been, and he loves me anyway. He'll talk to me anyway. He wants a relationship anyway. He didn't boo Nathaniel away for the things that were in his heart.
Yep.
But he accepted him.
Yep.
We had to accept just a little bit of faith in God for him to grow. For him to grow it. For him to take what little we are and to make us what he wants us to be, we have to make a decision. And that's to have a revelation in our mind to understand that the knowledge of Jesus leads to greater things.
Right.
Not just knowing him, but realizing that he knows who we are and making a change and accepting him for who he is. But the thing is we might say, well, Brother Jonathan, I'm already saved. So I already have greater things coming. You know, you might say, well, I'll just wait till heaven. Don't. God has so many good things for us here on earth, so many people to bring to heaven with us, so many opportunities for you to get closer to God, to have a relationship, to have even crowns in heaven, that it's not worth just giving up after you accept him. It's not worth it. Nathaniel didn't. And Nathaniel had a very simple situation. He just said, hey, he knows who I am. He knows where I've been. And he knows what's in my heart. This is Christ. That little faith grew into one of the 12 people who are responsible for us being here today. 2,000 years later, Nathaniel's faith in Jesus Christ had an impact today. I guarantee that when you get to heaven, there will be many people that Nathaniel never thought he would have reached. Through the people that were saved through his ministry and the ministries that he helped with, there's so much more for you than just the fig tree. But without it, there's no moving forward. Without that initial seed of faith, there is no future. So I'd ask you today, what's more important in your life? Is it that you just kind of live willy-nilly and do your own thing and live how you want and let your life just kind of go, meaningless, without direction, without guide? Or are you going to have that moment of faith? And then after that moment of faith, I'd ask for those who are saved, who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, are you looking to the promise of greater things? In verse 51 of 1 John, beautiful words of Jesus, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Without the seed of faith, that doesn't happen. Without not only the seed of faith, but not only this willingness to go through, but an accepting that Jesus is God, you will not get to the point where you can see heaven open. We're all promised through salvation a place in heaven, but I'd ask you today, is that the goal? Do you live your life for the greater things that God has for you? Or do you just kind of say, I invested what I can, so that's it. If we turn to Luke chapter 17 in closing, I'd like to look at one more verse, then kind of bring it all to a point. Luke 17 verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the man which thou gavest me out of the world. Oh, I'm in John. Let me get to the right book. I even put a thing in here. Sorry. Luke 17, verse 6 says, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you." I may mention to this verse, but it's important to understand that with the faith that God can give you, you can do so much more than you could have ever done without it. As a saved individual, there is so much that God has for you, so much that He'll show you, but that initial faith has to be invested, and it has to be a continual thing. Because there's a lot of things in life that are little that we forget to invest our faith in. We think, oh, life will just iron it out. We'll figure it out. I got it. But it takes very little faith to do it yourself. I dare say none. You try to ramrod your own plans where God wants His plans to be evident. Where He wants you to have faith, you decide, I got this. But what you forget, and what Nathaniel could have forgotten, was that God knows where you are.
Yeah.
That God knows where you're going. Just like the psalmist David Wright, you know when I get up, you know when I lay down, why would I not put my faith in you? And I ask you today that on both sides of the aisle, if you're saved today, I ask you to continue to invest your faith in God, who can take you to greater places, get you to do greater things. And I ask you, if you're not there, if you don't know Christ today, takes that first investment. Understanding that God created everything for you to have a relationship with Him. And all that takes is just a seed of faith to start a glorious journey where you'll see greater things than you could ever imagine, to see heaven open, to see angels, to see God in heaven, and to see others there because of you. It takes that little bit of faith. And for Christians today, I'd ask you, I'd implore you to not give up on that seed of faith, but to continue to grow it throughout your life for the greater things that God has in store for you. Jesus wanted it for Nathaniel, and He wants it for you today. But without that revelation, without the initial faith, there is no promise of greater things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, work in us. I pray, Lord, in this time, that we would be reflective, Lord, of the calling, Lord, that You've given us. You want us all, Lord, to have faith. You want us all to, Lord, live for You, to see greater things. But Lord, it's not going to be easy. Lord, it's not going to be something we just pick up and put down when we want, Lord. No, it has to be a continuing effort.
Yeah.
It has to be, Lord, a little faith that we learn to grow through You. Lord, I pray that You just help those in, Lord, this congregation, and myself included, Lord, that we would take the faith, the initial faith of our salvation, and grow it to be the greater things You want for us. Amen.